We've been praying for Kevin and continue to pray for healing, and we're glad that you're here today. And anyone else that's here, glad that you're here today. So just a couple of things to go over. Today, we'll be having three baptisms after worship today at 1:30 at Huntington Beach. Yeah, that's a good thing, yes. Claire and Keegan Meehan will both be baptized, and Brianna Connell will be baptized. So that's a fun celebration. If you can make it out there, it's going to be 1:30 at Huntington Beach. We're going to meet. If you know Huntington Beach, there's like a bunch of different areas to walk down to the beach, but we're going to meet at the, there's like a tower where Honey Hut used to be, and it's like a big building there. We're going to meet by that tower before we go down, and we'll find a spot down there to gather and go through the baptism. We'll hear a little bit about baptism and then hear each of the, each person's testimony, and then we'll get in the water, and hopefully the clouds will stay away and it'll be nice, and we're looking forward to it. So if you can make it out there, that would be great. Also, next week is August 3rd, and that will be a little bit of a change for us to get in our gathering, because the Puerto Rican parade happens during our worship service next week, and so we're moving our worship service to the evening time from 4 to 5 p.m., and so we'll gather for worship next week in the evening, and then afterwards, if you pack a picnic dinner, you can stay afterwards, and we'll eat, eat a picnic dinner together, and then have some ice cream and all the fixings on top of that. And in the morning, we're gonna, if you can make it, be out here at 9:30 a.m. We're gonna set up our parking lot and have kind of just this kind of hospitality center for those who are coming to the parade to, you know, hand out water and take care of people and let them use the restrooms in our building, and also give out any like our, you know, information about our church, and just be a welcoming face as we celebrate with people who are gathered for the parade next week. And so if you have any questions about that, you can feel free to email me or call me or talk to me immediately after the service. And then our communion will have the second Sunday of August for the month of August, just so you know that. Also, there is a children's ministry training coming up September 7th at 9:30 a.m. Anybody that's a child worker in any of the areas where we have children's ministry, from nursery, junior church, Good News Kids, will be having a training during the 9:30 hour on September 7th. And then on September 14th is the child protection policy meeting. We have to do that every year, and if you are going to be helping in those areas, plan to be there for that training. If you have questions, or there's something you can't make or something like that, just talk to Joel Oliver. He's downstairs right now, and he'll fill you in or catch you up with what all needs to happen. Also, this is not in the bulletin, but we found out about it this week, and there's some flyers out on the table out in the hallway beside the elevator. The Lake Erie Crushers are having a Faith and Family Night August 22nd at 7 p.m. It's a pretty cheap evening, and there's just a lot going on, so if you are interested in that, you can pick up a flyer, as well as other flyers for things coming up, like our hot meal coming up for next month, and other things are out on that table. If you have any questions, you can always follow up with us during the week by calling the church office or talking to me immediately after the service. Also, be in prayer for all the needs of our church, and those are all listed on the back of our bulletin. And if you would like to have the church be praying for you, you can fill out a prayer sheet. You just simply tear off the little sheet in your bulletin, and you can fill that out and put it in the offering as it comes by. If you don't want the whole church knowing about it, you can mark, "Please keep it confidential." And only leaders will see that and be praying for you. But if you would like that to be on the prayer sheet, whatever your prayer request is, you can fill that out, and it'll be added to our weekly prayer sheet, and we will definitely be praying for you through the week. We also want to know a little bit about you. If this is your first time visiting, or if you've never done this before, on the other side of that sheet is a little form where you can fill out so we can know a little bit more about you. If you'd like to know more about us or specific things, you can mark those things on that sheet. Let's say if you want to know about being baptized, you can check that and put your name, and somebody will follow up with you on that and give you more information. We'll be having I know there's, I've talked to six or seven people about being baptized this fall. So we'll be having more baptism classes coming up sometime in September. We'll get those dates out next week in the bulletin. And so if you're thinking about being baptized, then don't just think about it, be praying about it, but also you can talk to me. And we have, with baptism, there's a lot of things that happen internally with us, and nobody knows what's going on. Like, you can sit here this morning, and I don't know what's going on unless you say something. And with baptism, that's a way that we show what God's doing internally with us in an outward show. It's something that Jesus calls us to do, and it's a picture of what he's been doing inside of us that we show the world. And if you've not been baptized before and you are a believer, it's really an important thing for you to go to do. And so if you are interested in it, if you just want to know more about it, I encourage you, when you see the dates of these classes next week, don't just forget them or let them go by. Engage in that. If nothing else, just come to the class and sit through it and hear what baptism is. We look at all the scriptures that talk about baptism, and we answer any questions. We talk about why are you baptized, those kinds of things. And so I encourage you next week, as you see the dates, to just not let that go by. We'll also be having some membership classes coming up in the fall as well, if you're interested in that. I know I've talked to a couple of you who are interested in that as well. And we'll have those dates set by next week so that you can see that. If you are a first-time visitor, we like to greet you and let you and say hi and welcome you. If you are a first-time visitor today, I'm not going to ask you to stand up. We do that some weeks. But what I'm going to do is give us about 30 to 40 seconds. If you are somebody that's here all the time, look around. If you see somebody first time, say hi to them. If you see somebody that you haven't seen in a while, say hi to them. Just spend some time saying hi to each other, about 30 or 40 seconds. And if you're new, talk to somebody. All right. Let's wrangle it back in now. You guys are hard to wrangle sometimes.
You let them go.
All right. I want to read, kind of to kick off our worship, I want to read Psalm 24. And then I'll pray, and then I'll hand it over to the worship team. This is an important truth. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord, who may stand in his holy place, the one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from God, their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. You are the King of glory. You are the creator of all things. I pray that you would help us to come to you with hearts that are set right before you, that we might worship you. Help us as we lift hands to praise you, as we seek you. Help us to do that with no distractions. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you do and all that you will do. I pray for the three who are being baptized today. I pray for Brianna and Claire and Keegan, Lord, that you would just Help this be a such a fun and great celebration, Lord, as they show what's been going on internally, what you've done in their hearts. You are so amazing, and you do so much. Thank you that you've given us these things like baptism and communion, where we're able to see things and just participate in this work that you do in the world in a way that's very powerful. Lord, I pray that you would bless us today as we sing, that you would bless Pastor Joe as he preaches, that you would open our hearts and our minds to who you are, and that we would grasp and glimpse just a sliver of your glory, and it would change our lives forever. You are so good, and I'm so thankful. Help us to just worship you with that spirit today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. So, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but this is a thought I have in reflection is, have I really figured out how God's love works? Because when I think about my own life and how many times I come back and ask for God to forgive me for the same thing over and over, and I'm like, God, are you not tired of me yet? And God's answer is absolutely not. Every time. And it boggles my mind that God loves that deeply. But I think there are other ways to try to reflect on the love of God too. And like, we've had a tragedy in our community this last week with the three officers from Lorain who were shot. And we're like, okay, God, where's your love? You know, why did you allow this to happen? And those are hard things to wrestle with, right? They're not easy answers. But the things I do know is that evil is still here in the world until Jesus makes all things right. And so, but God's love is still not gone, and it's still not run out, even when we see evil seem to have a foothold. I do want us to pray for the family of Officer Philip Wagner today, because they're wrestling with these questions of God's love. He was a committed member of Grow Point Church in Amherst, and I'm sure that that congregation is wrestling with that today. But we want to also focus that there is hope, that God's love, even with the evil that happens, still works through us to bring that light of love into the world. And so I ask if you'd stand with us and join with us as we sing this song and just reflect on the depth of God's love today.
Power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. brings our chaos back into order. Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of Glory, the King of Glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of Glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is amazing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. I sing for all that you've done for me.
Amen. Give him praise. Give him praise. The Lord is so good, and we lift up our adoration to him, and we praise him for all that he is. And let's take this time to confess, because we know that we've fallen short, so let's keep our hearts postured in that way and seek his forgiveness for areas where we've fallen short. But let us thank him, because he's made a way for us to be reconciled with him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's keep on praising.
My God is slow to anger when I go astray. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. For all my betrayals he will not repay. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Through mercy and compassion his great love is proved. He covers my transgressions like the snow. As far as east from west are all my sins removed. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. He saved me from the pit when I had lost all hope. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. From endless springs of kindness, all his blessings. merciful and gracious is my God to me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And I will tell his goodness through eternity. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, you angels, all you heavenly hosts, and every living creature here below. Praise the Father, praise the Son, and Holy Ghost. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And bless the Lord, you angels, all you heavenly hosts, and bless the living creature here below. Praise the Father, praise the Son, and Holy Ghost. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Amen. Romans 5, 8 to 11 tells us, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he certainly will save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And for that, we say, Jesus, thank you. Amen.
The mystery of the cross I cannot comprehend, the agonies of Calvary. You, the perfect Holy One, cried your Son, who drank the bitter cup reserved for me. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table. Jesus, by your perfect sacrifice I've been brought in. Your enemy you made your friend. Pouring out the riches of your glorious grace, your mercy and your kindness know no end. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table. Jesus, thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. to live for you. Lover of my soul, I want to live for you. Lover of my soul, I want to live for you. Lover, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table, Jesus, thank you.
God, we just come to you, and we do thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you that it's incomprehensible, that it's lavish beyond anything we could imagine, and that it enters into our lives in ways that we can't always predict. And I pray that as we just reflect on that today, that you would just wrap us in that enormous love. I know there are many in this place who carry heavy things, and many who aren't able to be here today because they carry heavy things. And so I pray for your love to just be very intimate to each one. And we're so grateful that you love us that way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Continue worship through the giving of our offerings. I'm going to ask you just to do something with me this morning. If you'll close your eyes and bow your heads. I'm just going to read Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like the flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. and its place remembers it no more. But from the everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, I pray that we would come to this time of offering, of tithes and offerings, of that our hearts would be given fully to you. And that we would worship, that we would give from that, always that, and nothing else. Help us to serve you wholeheartedly, not so that it gains favor with men, but so that we might glorify you. Help us to give wholeheartedly so that it wouldn't gain favor with men, but would glorify you. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Whom the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. You can follow along on the screen or in your Bible. There is no insert this week. This is Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm not sure which one I'm drinking from, but I got them all up here just in case. Before I get started, I want to welcome back Kevin and Donna. And I know he was insistent on coming today, and I desperately tried to talk him out of it, and he stayed home. But Francisco is now out of the hospital as well. He's back at home. Pray for him. He's going to need a lot of care. And Jill will be going, hopefully, to a rehab center in Brooklyn tomorrow. And hopefully. So keep praying for Jill, if you would, please. I found something in my bulletin today that you might have as well. It's this sheet. So I can't wait until Tuesday. So it's been a very hectic week. Tony's dad, we want to pray for Mr., I forget his last name. Yeah, Robert De Niro, his brother Tony. I want to pray for him as well. It's, I know they've got some tough decisions to make. And in my family, we have four first cousins. One's also an aunt. I'll explain that story later. It's completely legit. That are all dying now. Gloria, Marianne, Anthony, and Brady. And I got a call yesterday after a lot of stuff going on, and from Brady and Fran, my cousin David called on their behalf asking if I would go to University Hospital this afternoon to pray with Brady. Now, my cousins, all of them, are extremely Catholic, and I'm kind of like, when it comes to ministry, we have a priest in the family, so I'm kind of the black sheep. And yet I love my family dearly, and they love me dearly. And this is a huge thing, but I was praying for him on Thursday because Brady in particular, who's the one that's in trouble, has a little bit of a different spirit in him. He kind of married into Catholicism, and I'm not knocking any Catholics that are here. But you can be religiously anything and not know the Lord, because it's about relationship, not about rules and regulations and that burden. But if that's all you know, that's all you know. And that's who I was for many years. That's all I knew. But anyway, if you think about it, after the baptisms, maybe about 3 o'clock, just shoot a prayer toward University Hospital. I'll probably have at least 4 cousins there. And just pray that their hearts would be open to the Spirit of God. Because when we get to this stage of life, it's not like I hope, I wish. It's time to know. And for anyone here, it's time to know. Jesus says in 1 John, you can know that you have eternal life. And what peace that is, especially at a time like this. Because life is eternal, not temporal. And death is a comma, not a period, that leads to somewhere. So I'd appreciate your prayers if you think about it. Rich Story, another one, I just thought of him. I talked to him. He's in hospice care now. And it's another one. It's hard to know. But we reunited at Kevin's 60th birthday party, I believe it was. And he was a coach at Olmsted Falls when I was a sports writer, and we both happened to be there. And we've rekindled the friendship ever since. But you walk this journey along the way where people are entering into eternity. Sometimes it's sudden, like Brent just talked about, unexpected and so sad. Other times they think, well, they've lived a long life. Okay, that's fine, but there's a lot longer life to live than this life. So if you would pray, I appreciate it. We pray for you guys. That's why that prayer sheet is in the bulletin, to get a little vulnerable so we can join our hearts together and pray for one another. Okay. Enough of that. At times I feel like I have to apologize to you because I can't read scripture without songs and movies popping into my head. Sometimes I wish that I knew more scriptures as well as I know these songs that I grew up with. It's amazing when you sing them often. Maybe I need to learn to sing the verses and they would stick. We used to do that with the kids, right? Salty and all that stuff. And you sing scripture and you remember it. Had a kid and a father in Chagrin Falls. I'll never forget it. He was in my Youth for Christ club in the 70s. And now he was a father. And he had a little kid. They were in Aurora going to VBS at a church. This father was a dear friend of mine, but he never made a commitment to Christ. So at VBS, they were going through a divorce, and at VBS, they sang, Jesus loves me, this I know. And he said the Spirit, he didn't know called the Spirit of God because he didn't know what it was, but something came over him, and he remembered that song when we sang it when he was in high school. And he gave his life to the Lord, and God saved his marriage. By the innocence of a child and the power of words, God can change somebody. I pray that your spirit is open today. I don't come with any judgment. I've had a blank week this week, and boy, oh boy, I tell you, I can't share everything, but yeah. But this was very important to me, God always knows where he wants you to be when it's time. Mark 5 is one of the most powerful bridge chapters in the Gospels because it takes the ministry of Jesus to the chosen Jews, some of the maybe disobedient Jews, and the Gentiles that were completely lost. And you see the imagery of God saying, I so love the world. And the world includes everybody. And when you see someone in the world that says, there's no way God loves that person, remember you were that person. While I was yet an enemy, God's demonstrated his love for me by sending Jesus to die for me. Makes no sense, but I'm glad for spiritual nonsense when it gets through, because it changes your whole perspective on life. Jesus is no respecter of person. Oftentimes when we become a believer, we will quote 2 Corinthians 5:17. It said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. Anyone ever heard that verse before? It's a great verse. That's transformation. But don't forget the verse before it. 16 says, from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. It's a great prayer every morning. Lord, give me your eyes to see people as you do, not as the world does. Because when you do that, you'll treat them so much different. And you realize they too were made in the image of God. So our first song today is from the Bee Gees. I'm going to challenge you and ask you this question. How deep is your love? How deep is your love? You're going to know. Chapter 5 is also recorded in a different version in Matthew chapter 8 and Luke chapter 8 from different authors, from different perspectives. Some of you might struggle with that. I don't, because I was a sports writer, and you could bring 4 reporters to the same event and you get a different story. The facts would be the same, but the nuances might be different, or a focus here or a focus there. So it doesn't bother me when I read in Matthew and there's 2 people. It's kind of like Peter. How often was Peter the spokesman for the 12? And what he said is what they represented, but the focus was on Peter. Mark and Luke, there's only one man represented, okay? But when I read this chapter, I thought of a movie from 2017, The Greatest Showman, the story about P.T. Barnum and the greatest show on earth, the circus. And Barnum, back in the 1860s is when he lived, he was a great publicist and promoter of things. But he had this knack of seeing people differently, and he recruited people into his circus of various different looks and descents and issues. Some were tall, some were midgets, some were, you know, just people. The young gal with the beard who could sing like crazy. I mean, they were people that were out of the norm, off the radar for many of us. The kind of people you might want to avoid. And Barnum instead used them, maybe even exploited them in the early part of his life, until power got to PT and the whole thing crashed. But when it crashed, there was a renewal in his spirit that these same people who stood faithful with him, even when they lost everything because Barnum lost everything, they became family. Perspective had changed. Faithfulness does that. When you stop and look at who's been in your life, I hope someone's in your life. You can't do this thing alone. Don't even try to. It is too easy to slowly drift away and no one will even know it until they say, where was that person who used to sit there? And we can all make a difference by praying, by a phone call. Hugh Jackman, Zac Efron, Michelle Williams, Zendaya were all in that movie. It was very fictitious. But when I thought of Mark 5, I said, P.T. would have recruited this guy for a circus. He might have called them what the Trog said, wild thing. Because this man was out of control, and he would breathe fear into anybody who was in his presence. I want to look at Mark from a kind of a panoramic viewpoint, a little different today. First, I want to examine the setting after I pray. Father in heaven, we bless your name and thank you for this day. Bring your strong, strong spirit of love and grace and mercy so much that would bring humility to our spirit. Forgive us for pride. Forgive us for just cruising along. Make our hearts hungry for you. Then help us to live out what you tell us to do by your power for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So the scripture says that they went, Jesus and the disciples went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. And the region of the Gerasenes is part of the Decapolis. It's a Greek word that meant cities. In some versions, you'll see Gadarenes, you'll see Gerasa, different names for this same area. So don't let it trouble you. The Jews, these are the Jews who did not cross into the Jordan area, into just the Jordan River into Canaan, because they had been disobedient. I.e., that's why they're hanging around with swines, because a holy Jew would never do that. It might have been Gentiles as well at that point, but in any case, it was people who had strayed away from the law of God, so they weren't fazed by the law. God's chosen would never hang around pigs. That was defilement to the core. But here it became a big business. What had happened inside? Where were they? Where did they fall short? 11 through 13. A large herd of pigs was feeding on a nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, send us among the pigs, allowed us to go into them. He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. And we'll have a little more about that in a minute. Who are the characters that are mentioned in this story? Jesus and his disciples, they run into this man who quickly is identified by Jesus as having an impure spirit. His home, the tombs, the rocks, the caves. You're living with dead people. You defile yourself instantly. Nobody hangs around these folks, let alone their wild behavior that was absolutely out of control. When asked what their name was, and Jesus said, and they responded, my name is Legion. Legion was a phrase that would indicate, in Roman terminology, 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers. So this man was filled with demons. One of them talking on the behalf of many, but this was like total possession, evil possession. They were controlled by the pit of hell. Little side note here. Scripture teaches that believers cannot be demon possessed. People that are separated from God, who don't have his spirit taking residence, could be in that position. We don't talk much about this. But evil possession is very evident still in society and in places around the world where spirits of all kinds are worshipped. The devil goes crazy, bringing his presence, trying to trap people into falseness, into evil. But you can open the door to spiritual oppression by a lack of fellowship and obedience to God's word. It draws you back into temptation. It draws you into evil behavior or things you shouldn't know be there in the first place. And you keep going and drawing, and pretty soon the devil gets in your head. And he starts filling your head with lies. You'll justify your behavior for a while. That's fine in his case. Just keep going till I can trap you, because Jesus said about the devil, he came to steal, to kill, and destroy. If you're a solid believer, he cannot take you, but he can hinder you from honoring God and worshiping the Lord and serving him. I tell that to every marriage couple we prepare for marriage. There are three reasons why you got to do this thing right. The devil hates you because you're a believer. The devil hates your service for God because it's spreading the gospel. And the devil hates marriage because it's a picture of Christ's love for the church. And if you don't take God seriously, he's going to take you seriously, Satan. So guard yourself, please. It's so important to stay growing in the grace of God. Walk in fellowship with Jesus. Well, what does this demon-possessed man look like? He lived among the dead, among the rocks, the caves, the tombs, the dead, the defiled. Luke 8 tells us he was naked, wearing no clothes at all, that he could break chains that bound both of his hands. It reminded me of Samson in the Bible, when God renewed him with strength to take down the enemy, including himself, because his powers abused him. But God heard his cry, and that's a good sign for any of us here to remember. You're never too far from a cry to God. Never. Never, never, never. But it says here, his strength could not be subdued. He'd cry out with loud, horrible shrieks day and night, and he would cut himself with sharp-edged stones called cutting. Those who have teenagers, cutting is, there's a lot of that going on in our high schools. A self-destructive spirit, a spirit of, I can't do this anymore. I don't have purpose in life. What good am I? And they start playing around. Always look for that stuff because it's real. It is absolutely real. But here this guy was doing it to himself. He was trapped in a prison of despair and without hope. Then the townspeople, they're merchants into the big business of swine selling or pigs. Their priorities were skewed, favoring the destruction ultimately. In verses 15 and 16, they were more in despair about the loss of 2,000 swine than the transformation of one man. Now, before you jump real quick, I'm thinking, if I own those pigs, I might be a little ticked off too. Well, that shows where my values are. I was tested this week to show me if I put any trust in worldly values. Gone. And God is still there. And that's the most important place I can be. The people said they were amazed, but also afraid when the demons went in the pigs, ran into the lake, and drowned themselves. It was a reminder to me that amazed doesn't mean belief. You can be amazed at the works of God and still not trust him. Think of the triumphal entry. Hail the King of the Jews, right? 3 days, 4 days later, crucify him. Many cases, it was the same people. You can get excited about God in a service and leave here with No faith more than you came in with. Faith is not an emotion. Emotion is part of faith. Know the facts that you can put your faith in the facts and then ask God for the feeling. And when it comes, it's great. But that's why words like persevere and endurance are in the Bible. Because it isn't always easy. And as you persevere, God's preparing you to minister to somebody else. And then there's Jesus. What a few days, amazing days, he was experiencing. And we can forget this sometimes. Jesus was the God-man, the Son of Man. Hebrews says he took on flesh and experienced everything we did, but without sin. We have the miracle when he stilled the waves. Be still, quiet. What was he doing? He was sleeping. He was sleeping during a storm when everybody else was freaking out. And they woke up. What are we going to do now? Be still. But that tells me he was tired. He had fed 5,000. He walked right into this miracle of stilling nature. And then if you go a little further, just shortly after this, he raises a girl from the dead, a sick woman who was suffering from 18 years of hemorrhaging. It just took a little faith, and she reached out and touched the fringe of his cloak, and she was healed. Never stop reaching out to Jesus. He is the great physician, and he will give you grace if he doesn't do it on this earth. And that's a constant prayer in our house today with Debbie and I going back and forth with our spine and our back. Grace is sufficient if we don't get the healing. We can trust God together. Jesus operated in the power of his Father's will and obeyed his Father. And I'm so glad he did. Think of that prayer in the garden. I know you can take this away. But not my will, but thy will be done. How many are glad he obeyed a father? You wouldn't be saved if he didn't. Nor would I. The most painful moment leading into separation for a moment from his heavenly Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? He did it for you, and he did it for me. Thanks for the reminder, Brent. There were many interactions, many personal encounters with the Lord Jesus. And they were all engaged in this one very special way. And I'll use the song again, Ain't Too Proud to Beg. How many of you here, be honest, know somebody who would consider it very weak to beg? Of course, none of us here. It goes against our pride. It goes against our womanhood or manhood that I ain't begging for anything. I can do this thing myself. No, you can't. There were several interactions here that had to do with begging. First, the man. Jesus says, he saw a man with an impure spirit. Mark this down. It does not say he saw a demoniac. He saw a man. How easy it is to judge people based on outward behavior, based upon a habit or an addiction they might be stuck in. And I assure you, once you judge somebody through a label, you'll never see them like a person. Send them here, send them there, send her to this, send her to that, and that might be needed. I'm not knocking therapy, medicine, or anything. But is it done out of love? Is it done out of a sense that that person was made in the image of God? And for whatever reason, they got stuck where they got stuck. Where do I get stuck? Where do you get stuck? I don't think any of us here serve God to the fullness of what he would like from us. Thank God for amazing grace. The man lived in the tombs. No one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. But he ran to Jesus and fell on his knees. You think he had shame? You think he wondered, how could Jesus accept me? I'm a demoniac. That's what the man thought of himself. But because Jesus didn't see him as a demoniac, but a man who was possessed with demons, he could draw him into his presence. It reminded me of the prodigal son story. The son goes away and parties hardy and loses absolutely everything. And the Bible says his father, who had been interceding in prayer and praying and praying, one day he looks at a distance and here comes his father, his son. The son is preparing a speech of repentance. God, Father, I blew it. I sinned against you. I sinned against myself. Let me at least be one of your servants. The father took his robe and bound it up so he wouldn't trip over it, and he ran to his son. That was like considered rude for an old man to run. That's why I don't run, by the way, anymore. In case you wondered. It reminded it of a desperate run to somebody who they believe could help. And this man ran to Jesus, and look what he says. What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me. He was hesitant. What would God want with me? How could I even approach God the way I've been carrying on with my life? We get stuck by that sometimes, don't we? I've been such a creep. Praying these prayers of repentance again, again, again. And pretty soon, the devil will like to tell you, why waste your time? Because your time might not be God's time yet. So keep going back. Keep confessing. Keep inviting his blood to wash you and his spirit to fill you. Because sometimes out of those greatest struggles you're going through, God is going to set you free to minister to somebody who knows just what you've gone through. Son of the Most High God was a term used by the Jews and Gentiles in the Old Testament. I've heard of enough in the new these days that say Jesus. Son of the Most High God back in the Old Testament separated Almighty God from pagan gods, and there were plenty of those. So that title, Son of the Most High God, was frequented. But now we serve the name above all names, Jesus. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess on heaven and earth and under the earth that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. You might be sick, you might be blinded, demon-possessed, a leper, carrying destructive behaviors. All fall prey to a face-to-face encounter with the living God. Don't buy the lie that says it's too late. He's not interested. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. First, the man. Second, the demons themselves. Jesus asked, what is your name? My name is Legion, he replied, for we are many. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. If you go to Luke 11 on your own, you'll see a man who was delivered of an evil spirit. He was demon-possessed, and he was delivered, and his heart was now open, but he didn't put anything in it to fill the heart, and it says the demons came back sevenfold. Demons wander, and they love to find residence in somebody's heart. That's why they're saying, don't help us, don't have us leave this area. This is our area. This is our power plant. This is where we do our thing. Don't send us away. A large herd of pigs is where he sent them. The demons knew who they were dealing with, just as we saw that at the beginning of Mark chapter 1. The first profession of Jesus as the Son of God was made by a man who was exorcised in the synagogue. Jesus said, hush. Even a legion full of demons, might have been 2,000, 3,000, could have been 6,000. They were begging, do not send us to the abyss, the place of eternal torment. Jesus was sovereignly in control. And always remember, if you are a believer here today, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. You got to claim those promises. You got to know by the grace of God who you belong to, who purchased you. I don't know. I used to have days I'd look in the mirror and said, why would you waste your money on me? Waste your blood on me? But I'm glad he did. And I hope you're glad he did for your sake. Third, the people of the town, as I said before, they were amazed but afraid. You know, you think about this for a second. Well, I'll touch it in a second. They were consumed with the loss of sausage and bacon to their personal and town's economy. The pigs were drowned in the lake. There was all-out blitz into the lake. These pigs filled with all the demons that came out of this man. But then they see the man sitting next to Jesus, clothed in his right mind. And they were blind to what happened. Fourth, the freed and delivered man, freed by, from the influence of demons. He was overwhelmed by the loving ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He begged our Lord too in verses 19 and 20, please let me go with you. Sounds like a great prayer, isn't it? You talk about going from distress to glory. Jesus delivered me. I can walk with him now. I want to be part of his posse. The Lord said, no. I want you to go back where you can make the most difference. Go back to your people. Go back to your village. Shine my light in darkness so they can see and ask the question after they're not afraid, what happened to you? I was delivered by the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. He could share mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what I don't deserve. Amazing grace, hallelujah. But before grace comes mercy. I don't deserve salvation. And I don't want to burst your bubble, neither do you. But he offered mercy. And the Bible says he gives mercy to who wants to give mercy to. And before I try to figure that verse out, say thank you if you've received it. And keep saying thank you. It reminded me this week of someone who died. The king of WWF, Hulk Hogan, died. But I think I used to go to big time wrestling when I was a kid. Take the bus at Cobo Hall down to Detroit and... It was crazy. Anyway, I always used to love, I can't bend. Those guys are just got beat the snot out of, and they're begging for mercy. And 2 seconds later, it flips. I'm thinking, how'd you get the strength already? Well, I don't want to burst your bubble. It is a script. I saw the script. The Sheik in Bobo, Brazil. I was in the room when they were going over the script. But that's for another story. But, you know, when I read this account, when I knew I was going to preach it, I must have read it 50 times. And everything I read and all these little nitpicking facts, one truth stood out to me that I'd like to impart with you today. Jesus hated the sin. And I don't like this phrase, love the sinner. But let me express it this way. He can look beyond my fault to see my need. Demoniac was what he demonstrated. A hurting soul is what he was. And Jesus came to deliver and save that hurting man from the disease and sickness that was opened up to his spirit. Two questions. Can I say that same thing about me? Can you say that same thing about you? Every person you encounter, regardless of what you see, was made in the image of God. And if you don't see that, you'll get tripped up in life, even by your own loved ones. Because rather than remember where I was, I'll be focused on where you should be. The demon broke the chains. He was so strong. But they came back because the spirit was still enchained. When Jesus breaks the chains, you are set free. Don't go back. Walk in his grace, his mercy, and his power every day. When you screw up, repent. Get back on that gospel horse and keep going. Let's pray. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, I thank you. We can sing that song so many times and we miss it. That saved a wretch like me. God, in your eyes, you're holy, you're awesome. Who could possibly enter into your presence without frying up or just being annihilated? Because we're sinners who need help. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, your word says. And we have it right above me, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, eternal life in Jesus Christ. Thank you that you offered that gift to the demoniac. Probably gave opportunity to the people of the town, but they didn't want anything to do with you. Sometimes I wish we could just have followed some of these guys to see how they lived out the rest of their life, but we only have what you gave us. Help us to receive people today in a whole different way. Remind us of the image of God, regardless of where people are at. Whether they need help, they all need hope. Help us to be hope givers and mercy givers, just as we received hope and mercy from above. Break our chains, if we have chains, of fear, of disinterest, and help us to bring the kingdom of God to Northeast Ohio, to the greater Cleveland area, for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand with us as we sing this final song?
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his chosen one. have paid my ransom.
Jesus, thank you for caring so much about us, for seeing us, for coming for us, for giving us the choice to come to you too. Lord, I pray that we would see you and that we would, I pray that we wouldn't waste any time in coming to you, Lord, with our joy and our sorrow and just with every supplication. Lord, thank you for paying our ransom. We love you, Jesus. Keep us in our comings and goings until we meet again. Amen.